Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave Dufour and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave Dufour here with Keith Parrish for your Weekend Update. Coming up, the Nuggets had a rough weekend. The Kings held back the Suns, and the Knicks spoiled the Lakers' Oscar party. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Keith, New York Knicks are in town. They got beat pretty badly the other day by the Clippers. I think these guys got a good sleep last night. They rolled into L.A., playing the Lakers, and they pick up a win 112-108. Julius Randle came in a man possessed. He took over right away, had 18 points in the first quarter, 25 in the first half. Knicks are pretty good.
The Knicks are pretty good, Dave. I mean, they've won 40 games. Congratulations, Knicks. You had Hollywood's biggest stars come out, not to go to the Oscars. They wanted to see RJ Barrett and Julius Randle do work. They did it. You had Denzel and Spike Lee sitting courtside watching this game. I mean, it was a big game because the Lakers have obviously been playing well. They've been picking up momentum. The Knicks, they've had a good year, but without Jalen Brunson, sometimes it doesn't go that well. But this is a big victory. I mean, it has huge playoff ramifications for the Knicks and then for the Western Conference play-in race. But yeah, it was a huge victory for the Knicks doing that LA double step, the two-step out there, to come out of LA with at least a split. And, like, the way they played, the way their bench performed, just grounded out, overcame a huge performance from D'Angelo Russell. New York, I wish they had an acceptance speech for their 40th win.
Julius Randle had something to say after this game. RJ Barrett had 30. Does so much of his scoring load with that bench unit, like you mentioned. Josh Hart has been a hero to the Knicks since he came over at the trade deadline. And you mentioned this is a big win for them with playoff ramifications. It's a big win for them from a momentum perspective. They had lost three straight, and you mentioned they haven't had Brunson. I don't know when he's coming back. They needed to pick up a win, I think, mentally, just to, you know, so that they don't lose the good vibes that they've got going. For the Lakers, you know, this is another close-fought game where defensively I thought they were pretty good. Anthony Davis had a really nice game, was +9 in 37 minutes. That lets you know, the sort of game he had, 17 points, 16 rebounds, a couple of steals and a block. But D'Angelo Russell really was a star for the Lakers tonight. This is why they brought him in. And you immediately see it's just a better fit on the court than what they had with Russell Westbrook previously.
Yeah, I mean, he did everything you could ask of him. I know there's an easy joke here to point out that he scored a bunch and lost, and that's the D'Lo experience. I'm not going to make it, Dave. I'm not going to do that. That's for the pre-show, yeah, only. No, I mean, obviously you want to highlight, like, Troy Brown gets the start, does an 0 for 8, a gaping hole in that Lakers starting lineup. I'm honestly confused a little bit why Austin Reeves has been playing so well that he can't even get even more minutes. It was a strange game where, honestly, you know, like you said, Julius Randle came out hot, but, like, I thought the Lakers were going to win for almost this whole game. Like, they kept pulling ahead. They kept playing. It was a back-and-forth affair, but I was really, like, maybe I just thought without Jalen Brunson, the Knicks would stumble down the stretch, but they did not, and I was honestly surprised.
Well, they did stumble down the stretch, Keith. Yeah. That's the thing. They blew a 10-point lead, basically, at the end of the game, and you know, it winds up going to 112 on a couple of Josh Hart free throws after some very good hot potato from the Knicks to run out the clock. But, you know, right down the stretch, they had a 2-point lead. RJ Barrett goes for the shot with about 11 seconds left on the clock, and there's only 23 seconds left in the game. So way too early there. But it's a series of things with the Knicks where, listen, they are a good basketball team. They have good players, but they still have a management problem on offense. They don't run anything most of the game. They don't run anything at all down the stretch. It's a lot of isolation. And this is why Jalen Brunson is the sort of key here to this team. And look, Jalen Brunson might get some like fifth place MVP votes and maybe well earned when you look at how this team plays without him, because down the stretch of games, he does take it over. He gets to the paint. He makes good decisions. But we know what this team is. I feel like they're going to be a first round out in the playoffs, but this is still a pretty good basketball team that should be better next year.
It might not be a first round. I mean, I think everyone's circling that possible Knicks Cavaliers first round series. And honestly, I could go either way. There's a couple of numbers where you see like the Cavs haven't been particularly great in clutch situations, although they're awesome in overtime. I'll grant you they're awesome in overtime. But like there's some concerning numbers for the Cavs, and like I feel like that could be a toss up. I probably would still take the Cavaliers, but like the Knicks have a lot of stuff going right. Going back to the Jalen Brunson, like maybe a fringe MVP vote here and there. I'm still stunned that the coaches picked Julius Randle as the All-Star over Brunson. I just thought Brunson was maybe more important to the team, but maybe they favor the big man. Looking at the Lakers side of this, the thing as a basketball fan that most intrigues me about this loss, it's just the logjam now. We're talking about this Western Conference play-in race. We have four teams at 33-35. The Pelicans, the Thunder, the Jazz, and the Lakers. That's 9-12 in the West. Tied. We only got a few weeks left.
Yeah, and the Timberwolves and the Mavericks only have a game up on them. And the Mavericks are going to be shorthanded for their game Monday night against Memphis. So, I mean, maybe even just circle that in as a loss. Although, right now in the NBA, you don't know. Like, everything is so up and down. Memphis is still, they're missing a bunch of guys. Steven Adams, obviously, out for the rest of the season. And then the Warriors are only one game ahead of Minnesota and Dallas for the sixth seed, with the Clippers only a half game ahead of them for the five seed. The playoff race is nuts. And look, everybody, every single time this comes up, we all say that the play-in really saved the regular season. The play-in saved the regular season for me because, like, all of these games actually matter. I need to tune in. I need to watch. I need to care the next day. Like, what are the standings? I am checking the standings every morning right now, Keith.
Well, we've made it midway through March, and I think if you polled anyone who covered the NBA in, like, December, if you were like, hey, are the Jazz and Thunder going to keep playing hard, or are they going to pull the plug? You'd be like, no, they're not. They're going to give it up. And even there's been moments where you're like, oh, the Jazz have dropped a few. The Thunder have dropped a few. Oh, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has got a sore abdomen. He's going to miss a couple. But these teams keep clawing out victories, and they're still right there. And this weekend, both of those teams got some wins. And then, like, the Pelicans, who've had the worst luck of anyone, they blow out the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers are trying as hard as they can, as far as we can tell. Dame Lillard ended up missing the game on Sunday. But, like, you have Trey Murphy 3 scoring 41 for the Pelicans. They get a win. This is going down, looks like, to the final buzzer. And then it might come down to the tiebreakers. We're going to learn about tiebreakers we didn't even know existed when it gets to April.
What if there's play-in games to get into the play-in, Keith?
No, that's what it
should
be.
Have you thought about that?
We shouldn't have tiebreakers.
It's a Russian nesting doll of play-in games to just get into the play-in. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm rooting for. It would be amazing. Basketball is at its best as a single elimination sport.
You're a madman.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Big game on Saturday with playoff implications, Keith, because it's that time of year. The Kings hold off the Suns and get a win, 128-119. That Kings bench, man, it really came in and did its job. Balanced effort overall offensively for the Kings. You know, nobody had a 20-point game, but they had seven guys in double figures, Keith. And to me, the big story to take away from this game, it isn't that the Kings are a better basketball team than the Phoenix Suns. It's that the Phoenix Suns have given up all of their depth for Kevin Durant, and now they don't have Kevin Durant for probably the rest of the regular season, or at least something close to that.
Right. I mean, you're talking about a Suns bench that is anchored by buyout guys. Like, they gave it all up. And if you have, you know, if your Josh Okogie isn't having one of his really great offensive games, like, and he's a starter, of course, like, you can only depend on him, but, like, they don't have a ton beyond what is just, I guess, their big three of Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. And, like, the Kings, who have been getting it done all year, they've had an incredible run of injury luck, where basically they've been healthy with all their core guys this whole season, and they have just, like, they keep growing and getting better and getting better, it feels like. And then when you get, I'm going to call what the Kings bench did in this one, unexpected contributions. When you get some unexpected contributions, when you're dropping, looks like 12 made threes from your bench, maybe 11 or so, like when Davion Mitchell is dropping the threes, Trey Lyles having a big game, that is that Kings firepower where we all said it. This is one thing, like, we said, hey, this team's going to have firepower. We didn't know they were going to have, like, two-seed firepower. But this team also, like the Knicks, wrapped up their 40th win of the year. And this was a big win for the seeding races. I think everyone, basically Vegas, hasn't believed in the Kings all year. I mean, I know that reflects the betting populace and they're trying to make money. But, like, you could get the Kings to win their division at, like, long odds as of weeks ago. Because they're like, oh, yeah, well, the Warriors are going to beat them, or the Suns are going to overtake them. But this win right here knocks the Suns back down, gives the Kings a little bit of breathing space, helps out the Grizzlies, too, and the three seed pushes the Suns back down to four. So, like, the Sacramento Kings dream season carries on, and it was a big win to kind of nip any, like, late season run, you know, in the bud, where, like, you don't have to worry about the Suns coming on and taking away maybe your home court advantage if you're Sacramento.
Well, you mentioned the Warriors, so let's move on to the big game Saturday night. The Warriors hosted the Bucks, and, you know, this has been a Jekyll and Hyde season for the Warriors. When they're at home, they look like the champions. When they're on the road, they have looked like an AAU basketball team that does not play defense. Well, they're now 28-7 at home, thanks to Steph Curry. He scored 22 of his 36 in the fourth quarter and overtime. Had a key block, Keith. Did it on offense, yeah, and defense. Tied the game in regulation with a made three. Comes back down and blocks Drew Holiday as he attempts to hit the game-winning layup. I mean, does Steph Curry just have to do it all? Is that the key to success for the Warriors? Like, if they're going to climb up in the standings, potentially be a home court advantage team, do they just need Steph to be the best player on the planet?
I don't know what the answer is, Dave. I don't have any basketball analysis that solves the riddle of why in the world the Warriors are so atrocious on the road and then good at home. Cause I feel like we watch these Saturday night home games and we're like, well, that team could beat anybody. They're amazing. Steph Curry is the best. And then I'm like, I just watched this team 2 days ago get rolled by a Grizzlies team that was shorthanded. And so it's like, I don't know what it is. I mean, I thought it was funny where Steph Curry and Drew Holiday, it's like a role reversal. Normally it's Drew Holiday with the game-saving block, the game-saving, game-winning steal, but it was Drew who was surprised that Steph blocked his shot, and then in overtime, the Warriors pull away. I mean, the Bucks are playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo, so, like, the Warriors, you need to win that game. Like, you need to win that game.
No, you have to win that game.
But honestly, it looked like they were going to lose. Like, they were down. It was right. A huge rally, and it took superhuman Steph. It took superhuman Steph to do this, and I mean, again, I don't know what the answer is for the Warriors. They're so strange. And, like, just staring at the standings, it doesn't make sense when you see they have seven road wins. You're like, what? How is that possible? And, like, and it isn't like an injury thing. Like, Steph Curry is playing in these games and they're losing them. So, I don't know what the answer is.
And they were able to tread water for a while there when he was out. I mean, the biggest problem to me is that Jordan Poole isn't good at home or on the road. That's their biggest problem. And he plays a lot of minutes, so that's the thing that they've got to figure out. And then we got to move on to the Denver Nuggets, the number one seed. We probably don't talk about them enough because they've just been so good. So, of course, Keith, when they have, go on a three-game losing streak, that's when we need to talk about them. The Nuggets had a rough weekend. They lose to a decent Brooklyn Nets team on Sunday. Look, that's going to happen, man. The Nets are going to beat some teams. They're still decent. But losing to the Spurs Friday, Keith, come on now. That's Warriors on the road level of sadness.
I mean, the Spurs have a little talent, I guess. They weren't expecting the Devin Vassell return game. No, I don't know. The Nuggets have looked sluggish recently, and maybe I'm too close to it because I watch a lot of Nuggets games. I have a soft spot for the Nuggets, and I'm not super worried about them because, like, they have the one seed wrapped up, and it is March. And everyone else is so focused on, like, we have to win, we have to win. And the Nuggets are like, we did it. We're good. So, like, yeah, Jokic definitely mailed in a game last week. But, like, then he rebounded. And then you end up losing to, like, an upstart Nets team that has a very aggressive defense. Like, they really floundered the Nuggets a lot on Sunday. Despite the Nuggets being like, hey, we really shouldn't lose three in a row. But the Nets just were swarming.
Yeah, and for my money, there's not a single player in the league, end of game, I'd rather have the ball than Nikola Jokic. And Brooklyn was able to play him physically without fouling, which is nearly impossible when guarding Jokic. They did a really good job. You mentioned they swarmed him. His goes up for the Sambor shuffle, and he's got two bodies on him. Spencer Dinwiddie's on his back, and he's got a defender in his grill. So they really just keyed in on him, and he still had 35, 20, and 11, Keith. He's just a stat pattern, right? Now, Michael Porter Jr., this is the thing that I want to pay attention to here, Keith.
Yeah.
He only plays 23 minutes. He scores 23 points. Sits most of the fourth quarter. Basically benched. What are we thinking here?
It's one of those things where you start making the run with a certain lineup. That's what it was, where the Nuggets were down double digits, and they started getting some stops. They had Christian Brown on the court. They were... You know, like, they were making a run based on their defense. Things were going well. So all coaches have the decision, hey, do I put some of my starters back in? Or maybe they just liked, like, they were playing the hot hand. They liked the lineup they were going with. After the game, Michael Porter Jr. had some stuff to say about, like, you know, I got benched, basically. Or, like, how can I get a rhythm if I'm only playing 20 seconds, you know, in a fourth quarter? So, like, they have some stuff to work out. And anytime you lose three in a row, you're probably going to have a little bit of friction maybe in the locker room and some things to sort out from those top guys, your starters, who maybe you didn't go to in the fourth quarter. I mean, maybe I'm being naive by not being super concerned about the Nuggets, but I think they'll work it out. I don't think it's that big of an issue.
I will say Michael Malone historically has not been a guy who is sort of, you know, stuck to his rotation. He's a guy who often can coach by the seat of his pants if a guy is on a hot streak. This is not a Steve Kerr who is like, okay, I've got this scheduled, and if you're sitting, it's because you've been benched. So I tend to agree with you there. I think he's just riding a hot hand. It's a long season.
Right. I mean, I think probably for another story that people are going to take away from this, you know, the Nuggets losing three straight, is how does that affect the MVP debate, which people can't shut up about. And, like, Jokic had a 30-20-10 triple-double, but, like, he had some chances. Honestly, I feel like the narratives are so fickle. If he'd made that, like, unbelievable three-pointer at the end that had a chance to go in, like, that's a huge, like, maybe momentum push for locking up that third straight MVP. But by losing three straight, I do feel like he leaves the door cracked because, like, the Sixers are coming. Joel Embiid had a huge weekend. That guy makes another. He has so many game winners on the year. I guess that new NBA Clutch Award is going to come down between Embiid and De'Aaron Fox or something.
It must, yeah,
but, like,
probably.
Yeah, Joel Embiid has made a strong push. The Sixers look awesome in their past few games. You know, like, will there be some jockeying as we come down the final stretch for the MVP award?
Well, after that long streak of Denver Nuggets wins in Jokic triple-doubles, they've now lost two straight.
That's right.
Where he's recorded a triple-double. So maybe triple-doubles are actually the bad guy here, Keith.
That's right. Quit averaging 36 points in your triple-doubles and losing.
That's right.
It's happened for Jokic the last two games.
That's right. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Keith Parrish, I'm Dave DeFore. Keith, get out of here.
Ding, ding.